By the following spring, he had left her again, promising it would be a few days.
April the 18th. Tears blind me while I write. He has been away weeks. I can never trust him again.
In May, a solicitor's neighbour came to call.
Oh, Mr. Hargrave. I didn't see you.
Oh, spellbound. What a pleasure and comfort that little creature must be to you.
He is.
Especially when you're so much alone.
How's your sister?
Esther is another young woman who is too much alone.
I expect Huntingdon any day.
Really? I had a letter from him this morning. I wish it were one I could show.
Was he well?
As well as he deserved to be. Perhaps you're not aware that...
I'm aware of nothing, except that he isn't home. Whatever my husband's faults, I don't need to hear them from a stranger.
Mrs. Huntington, I'm your husband's friend. I would like to be yours.
If you're his friend, Mr. Hargrave, and if you wish to be mine, you should encourage him to return.
A few days later, Huntington did come.
Where's my wife?
His condition of body and mind was even worse than before.
I can't eat this. This isn't food. What have you done with the cook?
She's the same one we had before you left, Arthur.
You must have been letting her get into bad habits.
I think it's you who has changed.
Mum?
Thank you, Benson. We have finished.
Yes, Mum.
Can you stop making such a racket, man? Have you any idea how my head hurts? What the hell is wrong? Can't you walk? Can't you carry plates?
He couldn't help it.
I'm sorry, sir.
Never mind now, Benson. You can clear later.
Thank you, Mum.
What do you mean by taking the servant's part against me?
The carpet caught his foot. It was an accident.
Oh, so you feel sorry for him? And what about me? My nerves are racked.
I never heard you complain of your nerves before.
Why shouldn't I have nerves as well as you?
You're perfectly welcome to them, but I never complain of mine.
Oh, you never do anything to try them. You just sit at home being virtuous.
You could sit with me. You don't have to go to London. You don't have to do what you do.
Oh, I need a drink.
You're hot. You've hardly eaten all day. Please, Arthur, have no more wine.
He wouldn't listen. Whatever she did was an insult and further proof of her neglect.
I thought I wouldn't send for you tonight. I thought I'd see how long it would please you to leave me alone.
Our baby's sick.
I'm sick too.
And whose fault is that?
If you start lecturing, I'll ring the bell and order 6 bottles of wine, and by heaven, I'll drink them all. Why can't you be gentle? You were gentle to me before.
And what good did that do? What a shame it is for a strong man like you to reduce yourself to such a state.
If you knew all, my girl, you'd say what a wonder it is that I bear it so well. I've lived more in these months away than you will to the end of your days. Oh, God, now you're crying again.
Don't you know that you are a part of me? And do you think you can injure and degrade yourself and I not feel it? You have to repent, Arthur. If you go on like this, it will kill you.
This? You think this will kill me? This is nothing. The thing that's killing me, with your tears and your confounded goodness, the thing that's killing me is you.
From then on, she restrained her tears and passions as much as she could.
June the 20th. Arthur's appetite for wine has increased. It is more than an accessory to social enjoyment. It is an important source of enjoyment in itself.
I fear for him. I repent, weep, pray, and feel for him. But I cannot act for him.
She enlisted support.
You told me once that you wished to be my friend.
You made it clear you did not trust me.
I was wrong, Mr. Hargrave. Please, forgive my coldness.
Mrs. Huntington, I can think of no greater honour than to be your friend.
He was easily persuaded that as a frequent visitor to the house, and as an old favourite of Huntingdon's, he was in a position to discourage him from the excess of his habits.
Please, don't tell Arthur that you and I have spoken.
There was certainly an improvement after this. Hargrave succeeded in bringing him from the dining room in a tolerably good condition. Her husband began to recover.
I only wish there was not a secret understanding between myself and Mr. Hargrave. But if it's wrong, surely Arthur's is the fault, not mine.
She suggested a short residence by the seaside, both for his further restoration and for the benefit of their little one. But Huntingdon would hear none of it. He began to grow restless again.
July the 2nd. Things that formerly shocked and disgusted me now seem only natural. Fool that I was to dream that I had strength and purity enough to save myself and him. Yes, poor Arthur, I still hope and pray for you.
What are you writing?
A reply to my aunt's letter. My father's very ill. It's finished now.
I've been a brute.
Have you been drinking?
I'm sorry.
You're always sorry. But you never change.
Come here. I love you.
Do you, Arthur?
Kiss me. What's wrong?
You smell of wine.
You used to love me. You loved everything about me. Have you any idea how hard it is always to be disapproved of?
Arthur went again. This time he left her a letter.
Called away by urgent business. Do not trouble yourself to follow. I shall be home by Friday.
August. I do not know the day. I shall not expect him. I know that with him, days signify weeks and weeks months. The truth is, I am better off alone.
Am I interrupting?
Oh, Mr. Hargrave.
I was passing. I thought I'd inquire about the welfare of my friend.
I'm afraid I haven't heard from Huntingdon in months.
I met my newer friend. How is she?
The light is going. I should check on Arthur.
You never visit. My sister would love you to visit.
I'm afraid all my time is taken up with looking after my son. Today is the first time I have painted since I was married.
you have a skill. Shouldn't be wasted.
Thank you.
You shouldn't be wasted.
I'm sure in God's eyes I'm not.
Let me help you.
Thank you. I prefer to manage on my own, Mr. Hargrave.
When Huntingdon eventually returned in September, he was even worse than she'd seen him before. I read her pages and sighed aloud.
I am tired with his injustice, his selfishness, his hopeless depravity. And yet, perhaps, it is me who has changed.
Why are you wearing black?
My father's dead.
And?
I shall go to the funeral.
You didn't even know him.
My brother will be there.
You hardly know him either. I'm your husband. I can't spare you, my love. Not even for one day.
But you manage weeks, months without seeing me. What do you do when you go?
We have guests coming. I invited the old crowd. They arrive in a few days.
Is Lady Loughborough one of the party? Please, Arthur,
Let me go.
Helen, your father was a reprobate who drank himself to death. He wasn't even fit to look after you. Really, my love, anyone would think you were not sane.
September the 12th. Our guests have arrived. I cannot get over my dislike of Lady Loughborough.
Helen. Poor creature. You're in mourning.
My father.
It makes one look so dreadfully pale.
At first, Annabella used all her art to win Huntington's admiration. But finding him impenetrable, she became equally indifferent. This, at least, was a relief to Helen. His drinking was not.
What say you to a regular jollification?
It promises to be quite an evening.
Lord Loughborough.
Ladies.
What are you doing in here?
You no one ever drink, my love.
It looks so silly to be dangling after the women.
If my presence is disagreeable to you, I will relieve you of it.
He'll probably go and cry in the garden.
It would serve you right, Annabella, if Lord Loughborough were to return to his old habit. They almost killed him once.
I should not mind, my dear, if his lordship were to intoxicate himself every day. I should sooner be rid of him. Mr. Hargrave, what are those dreadful men doing?
Have they ordered more wine, Mr. Hargrave?
I fear he is fully determined to enjoy himself tonight. We need to talk. As your true friend, I need to tell you something, though it pains me. It concerns your husband.
If it causes you pain, please don't tell me. Besides, I know everything there is to know about Arthur. September the 20th. He has not alluded to this mystery since. Annabella, too, seems to regret her misconduct. And for the last few weeks, she has treated her husband with more kindness than I've ever observed from her before.
Helen ends by noting a further change in her husband. He appeared to moderate his drinking so markedly he was a different man. She wrote in small letters on October the 4th.
Is this, at last, the change in him that I have longed and prayed for? Dare I hope? I think I do.
Outside, the first cracks of dawn were showing in the sky. I paced the room, unable to sit with my feelings. Why did I not share Helen's confidence? Why could I not believe the man had really changed?
Well, has Mr. Huntington really reformed his behaviour? Find out in tomorrow's episode of The Tenant of Wildfell Hall. I've had my mulled wine, so I'm feeling even more chirpy. Mary's still here, which is very good of her. Here's a good one, Mary Berry. Make sure you don't wrap your turkey in a towel that's been washed in lavender-scented powder, as we found out last year, says Suzanne in Chester.
Oh, it would be jolly strong, very wise.
Your turkey would smell lovely-ish. And so many emails and tweets about chestnut husk removal.
Right, have we got some good tips?
Judith says, grill chestnuts for easy skin release. About 8 minutes aside, having made a slit on both sides first, I promise you it's no problem.
That sounds a winner to me.
And Michaela, I'm curious about the difficulty expressed by a caller in removing roasted fresh chestnut shells, which isn't easy after mulled wine. I cut 2 slits into the tops of each chestnut before roasting in the oven to help open them during the roasting. It makes peeling them away so much easier.
Good.
Well, does that mean that tips? Even you have learnt something?
I have learnt something, and I think I have put slits around before, but I think the grilling each side is a good idea.
There we are. Mary Berry has learnt from listeners to Windsor. You've got another busy year ahead of you next year, I imagine.
Yes, I hope another bake-off.
Another bake-off? Maybe.
And a children's one, perhaps, too. We haven't heard about that, though.
Oh, well, my daughter loved the junior bake-off. And I was saying to you earlier, the brilliant thing about that is you don't patronise the children involved, who were incredibly talented.
They were talented. It was lovely. It was a sheer honour to do.
Well, let's hope that does come back as well. Lovely to see you again. Have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you, Jane.
That's Mary Berry, and my guest on Woman's Hour tomorrow is Sue Lawley. We'll be talking about the Desert Island Archive and much more. And enjoy today. I'll go back to the wine. And Woman's Hour back just after 10 tomorrow morning.
Woman's Hour was presented by Jane Garvey and produced by Louise Corley. The editor is Alice Feinstein. Postpartum psychosis affects a tiny minority of women after childbirth. It can appear rapidly, without warning, and the women who experience it speak of losing touch with reality. Well, after the news, we hear some personal stories. Just before that, though, here's a reminder of this year's Radio 4 Christmas appeal.
It was minus 11, I think, and all I had was the clothes that were on my back. One of the chaps that befriended me in the beginning realised that I was like a novice abroad. I really didn't know what I was doing. And he had been homeless for a period of time. The next day, he gave me a sleeping bag, which he told me he'd washed and dried for me. And I was gobsmacked, absolutely gobsmacked, that he had been thinking about me and how he might help me along the way.
You can donate to the Radio 4 St Martin in the Fields Christmas Appeal now by going to the Radio 4 website.